morning. How you doing? My name's Ryan. If you don't know me, I'm the children's minister here at CPC, and we're in this series called This Is Us. And we focus the first few weeks on kind of the nuclear family, the relationships that really take up the bulk of our lives, our marriages, our kids, parenting, dating, all those different things. But God has a lot to say about relationships that are outside that context. Some of the relationships that are in the world around us, maybe some of the relationships we don't think about in terms of an actual relationship. And so today we're going to be talking about discrimination and the hope that the gospel gives in that regard. We're going to talk about God's vision for his church, his vision for his people. Now, when we're talking about discrimination, I know some of you are already thinking this. Okay, we're talking about discrimination today, and they're bringing out the half Japanese guy to talk about it today and all those different things. And so, yes, but here's the reality. We talked about this topic being on the docket. That was clear. We need to talk about this because God has something to say, and it's relevant to our lives today. But when we put that up on the board, you know, we kind of plan these things together as a team. I thought, that's what I want to talk about. I'm passionate about it. I know a little something about it. I've told you a little bit about my family and my history before, but I'll refresh you if you don't know. My grandparents, I'm the product of a multiracial family. My dad is Japanese. My mom is British Isles. Everything. My grandparents on my dad's side, they're born in America, Japanese American, were interned during World War II, taken out of their homes, and were really left with nothing at the end. So there's part of my history that's there. My wife, Jess, who's here today, her mom is an immigrant from Mexico. Her dad is also Caucasian, grab bag, fun times. And so she's the product of that too. Our kids, we got two kids. They are, you know, half Caucasian from our side. And then all half what we've coined, they're half or half Japexican, half Japexican. I want to do a 23andMe genetic study on them. See what's going on here. There's a lot of stuff going on there. So that's part of my life. That's part of my story, and that's part of my history. And so when this topic comes up, I think, man, God has something so clear to tell us, and so clear to be about, and to be about as His church and as His people. And I want to share that with you today. But if I'm honest, I'm pretty nervous. I've shared this with the other services as well. I'm pretty nervous about this message, not because, and I'm always nervous about preaching, but this one in particular, probably more than anything, not because I'm not confident that God is clear about what God has to say to us, because in God's word, it's very clear. There's no question what God's expectation, his command, his vision for the church and for his people are. But for me, sometimes this issue can be divisive, and it can become one of those things that people take, they think it's all agenda-driven. And I just want to tell you, that's not where I'm coming from today. My agenda is to share with you God's word. And I hope that we would be able to have ears to hear and to listen to what God has for us. Because while we live in a world that's full of division, discrimination, all those things, the gospel of Jesus Christ offers us real and lasting hope that we're going to explore together. So let's pray, set ourselves right, and talk about and learn from God's word together. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you that you gave us your word. You left us something to hear from you. Not just when we have your spirit living within us, if we know you, but Lord, you gave us your word, these words that tell us what we are to be about, how we are to live, how we are to respond to you. So Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Give us ears to hear. Help us to understand and hearts that are soft to what you have for us. Lord, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go from the beginning to the end of the Bible, okay? Not verse by verse, don't worry. But we're going from the beginning to the end. We start with God's vision for humanity in Genesis. All the way at the beginning, God creates the heavens and the earth. He creates the land, the water, the sky, the moon, the sun. He creates plants and animals and birds and all this beautiful thing. And the last thing he makes is humanity. He makes man and woman, Adam and Eve. And so you see from the beginning, God creates one humanity, both given dominion over the world, both created. And here's the thing that's different about you and me, about humanity, over all of the creation. God says when he makes Adam and Eve, when he makes humanity, they are made in the image and likeness of God. Dogs are not made in the image and likeness of God. humans alone are made in the image and likeness of God. When we hear things like in our Constitution, all men are created equal, we hold these truths to be self-evident. That truth is from the Scriptures, that God created us in his image. So we see from the beginning, when God created man and woman, he created them, one humanity, one people. And from those two, all nations through generation, 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 as they moved out and spread out, one humanity. One humanity. Now you might know, if you've read the Bible, if you've been in church for long enough, you might know, didn't God select for himself a certain people, a nation? Is that discriminatory? Is God discriminating when he picks a people? And yes, you're right. God does choose for himself a people. He selects a man named Abraham and calls him out of his nation and says, I will make you a great nation. You'll be the father of the Israelite nation, my people. But even in Genesis chapter 22, we see what the purpose of God picking those people. Not for the purpose of discrimination. Another purpose. I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. You see, God chose Abraham, God chose this people, the Israelites, to be a blessing to all nations. God used the Israelites to spread his message, to show the world who God, the creator God, was in all the world. Even when Moses is writing down the laws of God, there's ways that people even outside, ethnically outside the Israelite people, to come in and become part of God's people. It's always been God's intention for one people, that the whole world might be blessed and know who he is, that he loves us, that he cares about us. And in the future, as we know, from when he promises to Abraham, we know that Jesus comes. Jesus is an offspring. He is a distant descendant of Abraham. He is an Israelite. He's a Jewish guy, and he does everything that Israel was supposed to do. He fulfills all the commandments. He does everything perfectly. He is fulfilling all the promises that God has made, and he dies on the cross and rises again and offers us forgiveness and life. And that is the true blessing that God promised through Abraham. I'm going to make you a blessing to all nations. That's Jesus. That's the gospel. That's him dying on the cross and rising again and offering to us forgiveness and life. So we see this movement throughout Scripture that God is bringing in more and more and more. And we see this pretty fully in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. You are descendants of Abraham, going all the way back to that promise, and heirs according to the promise. We see that God has done this great work in bringing more and more people. And so we see, here's, if you believe in Jesus, if you follow Jesus, if you say he's the Lord of your life, if you've received forgiveness and grace and eternal life, here's what it's like in God's family, in God's kingdom, among God's people. These are really helpful categories for us today. Jew nor Gentile. Basically, if you were an Israelite, if you were Jewish, ethnically Jewish, you could break down the world into two categories, if you want to. Two large categories. People who are Jewish, who are Israelites, who are born of the 12 tribes of Israel, and everyone else. Jewish folks, Gentiles. In God's kingdom, that's an ethnic, racial discrimination. That's just a way to categorize. In God's kingdom, there are none of those things. We all come from different places, but we are all equal and welcome and in if we follow Jesus. Slave nor free. Now, this month is Black History Month. We're celebrating some of the work of great African-American leaders and bringing civil rights. And so when we see this word like slavery, especially in a context like this month, we're thinking kind of American-style slavery from the past. And while that is wretched and despicable, and we're of course glad that in our nation that does not exist, although we learned last week it does in the broader world, but don't think so much about that type of slavery. Think about socioeconomic status, okay? Think rich and poor. If you were a slave in those days, you could sell yourself into slavery as a form of employment. Employment didn't quite work like it does today. There was no welfare or unemployment. There wasn't temp jobs and things like that. You might sell yourself to someone, and you could actually earn enough to buy your freedom. It just was a different type of thing. So we see in our world, we see stories every single day, racial discrimination, all the time. All the time. We see socioeconomic discrimination, rich and poor. That discussion is ongoing. It's in front of us all the time. Male and female. There's not nor male or female in God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, everyone is welcome. We look in the news today and we see things about Me Too. It seems like every single day there's a new woman coming forward saying how she has been abused and oppressed. And we look at that and just say, what is happening? Why are they these victims? And our heart breaks, and we see, though, in God's kingdom, that has no place there. That power dynamic has no place there. In God's kingdom, we are all one in Christ. We are one in Christ. Ephesians, just a few pages later in your Bible, gives this amazing verse talking about how Jesus accomplished this work. How did he bring everyone in? How did he do this? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, therefore, remember that formerly you, who are Gentiles, that's most of us in this room, most of us are probably not ethnically Jewish folks or kind of the Israelite of the 12 tribes of Israel. Gentiles by birth were called uncircumcised by those who called themselves the circumcision. Think that's just that kind of Jewish or Gentile idea right there, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was, what's his purpose? To create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. This is beautiful. In a world that can be so divided in so many ways, we see the heart of our God and the actions of Jesus on the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection. He fulfilled the law. He set aside those things, and he opened the door to all of us. We were all on the outside at one time, and God brought us near. Now, when you're reading this temple, this verse, you saw that part where it said the dividing wall, the barrier. And and it talks about the law, but if you were reading this back then, you would think in your mind it would conjure up images of the temple in Jerusalem, where God was, where the Ark of the Covenant would be, where the presence of God specially dwelt. And if you know something about the temple, you know that it's divided into courts, different courts, and they're separated by walls. I'm a children's pastor. I got to bring some blocks up here, you know. There are these walls, physical barriers that would separate the temple into different courts. Now, the innermost court was where the Ark of the Covenant would be, the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God specially dwelt. The outermost court was called the court of the Gentiles. If you were a Gentile, a non-Jewish person, that's as close as you could get to the presence of God. That's it. In fact, there was an inscription on the wall dividing the court of the Gentiles from the rest of the temple, and archaeologists actually found this stone. This is from, Jesus would have seen this. The disciple people would have been able to see this in Jesus' day, and I have a picture of it right here, and this is written in Greek. Most people in the ancient world spoke this form of Greek, and basically translated, it says, no Gentiles beyond this point. If you go beyond this, you're taking your own life into your hands. You may die. So what happens is there's a barrier. There was a barrier physically, spiritually. And Jesus on the cross, he tears down that barrier, he breaks down that wall and says, come on in. All are welcome. If you want to follow me, if you want to know me, come right on through. You are sons and daughters of Abraham. You are heirs. Heirs. Think about that. It's not that you're just your friend. You get an inheritance. You were an outsider before. Christ brought you in. And it's incredible. It's glorious. It's miraculous. It's unexpected that this is the way that Abraham would be a blessing to many nations through Jesus Christ on the cross. You know, when I was growing up in going to school, in grade school, in church, at school, at home, we were taught that discrimination was wrong. We were taught boys and girls, they're equal. No matter where you were born, no matter what your cultural background, no matter what, we're equal. No matter how much money you have or how little money you have, we're equal. And I went to public school, and that's what we learned. And that was good. That was a good, it's good to learn that. It's good to know that because that is right here. We know that. We are created in the image of likeness of God. We're all equal. And remember, as I got older, I was in high school, attending Castor Valley High School, and there's this group of guys, and they started promoting and celebrating kind of like a neo-Nazi, white supremacy type of thing, and it was so weird. This small group of guys, like, whoa, this feels like a bygone era. I mean, didn't civil rights already, what is going on here? And we see stuff like that in this world, and sometimes we wonder, I thought we were done with that. I thought we fixed that. I thought Jesus tore down this wall. I thought it's over. He took the dividing wall between. But here's the reality. It's still here. Discrimination still happens. And I believe it will always happen until Christ returns. You see, even early on in the church, right after Jesus tears down this barrier, Jesus does this thing, and almost immediately, people start to discriminate against, again. Because you know what? Human beings, you and me, we're fallen, we're sinful, we're messed up. And it's natural. It is just natural, a tendency that we have to discriminate, to gravitate towards people that look like, spend like, dress like, act like, work like us. It's natural. So in Galatians, when, right before Paul says there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, right before this, he tells a story. He tells a story about the Apostle Peter and himself. Now, Peter, if you know anything about Peter in terms of how he brought up the kingdom, Peter led the first Gentile convert to Christ, and he baptized him and his family. Peter was at this house, and he had a vision of Jesus, and Jesus said, you're going to go talk to this guy, Cornelius, you're going to share the gospel, and Cornelius was a Roman soldier. Peter said, okay, great, and he went to Cornelius, shared the gospel. Cornelius gave his life to Jesus, and he and his entire household were baptized. And in that moment, Peter says, he declares, I see now that God shows no favoritism, that God does not discriminate. And he celebrates and he sees this movement. And from this, all these Gentiles, all these people start coming to Jesus. They hear the gospel, they're saved, and the church is growing, and it's amazing. They're seeing the Great Commission lived out from Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. People are finding and following and giving their lives to Jesus. A little while later, flash forward a year or so, Paul and Peter are in the church of Antioch. All you need to know about early church, really diverse church. We know the names of the elders of that church, and you can tell by their names, and it says some of their background, that they were multi-ethnic. They're from Jewish and Gentile. They're from all over the Mediterranean world. There's even a guy, seems like he's probably from Africa. Amazing. And think God is moving. This church is exploding. It's growing. And Paul and Peter are there, and they're hanging out, and they're spending time eating with these Gentile Christians, which would have been taboo before. But now they're spending time and sharing meals, all these things, and it's awesome. But this group of Jewish Christians comes into town. And if you know things about the early church, there was a debate going on. Hey, do people have to be should they be kind of like practice Jewish practices? Is that what it really means to be a Christian? Is it Jesus and these other things? The church leaders had decided, people like Peter, people like Paul, people like James, the brother of Jesus, decided, no. Christ tore down the barrier. Everyone is in. But still, people persisted because it's a natural bent of our heart. They persisted. These Jewish Christians came into town. They were more of the persuasion that you need to act pretty Jewish to be a real Christian. And Peter, he was intimidated. He lost his nerve. And he goes and he abandons the Gentile Christians to only eat and spend time with the Jewish Christians. And Paul, he sees this. And he knows it's not right. And Paul tells us that he went and confronted Peter to his face. He calls him out. And you can imagine what that conversation might have been like. Peter, don't you remember Jesus tore down the dividing wall between Jewish and Gentile? Don't you remember, Peter, that God shows no favoritism? He does not discriminate. Peter, don't you remember these things? And so this has always existed because it's part of who we are. Sadly, we have to fight and war against it. And you might look around at this world and you think, man, if anything, it feels like it's getting worse. There's all these reports every single day, discrimination of all kinds. This story is kind of about ethnic, but all sorts of discrimination. But here's one of the things I love about the Bible. Here's one of the things I love about following Jesus is he actually gave us the end. He gave it, hey, spoiler alert, here's how it's going to end. It's in Revelation chapter 7. I love this. Look at this. This is the Apostle John having a vision from Jesus about the end. And this is, put yourself in this situation, because you, if you know Jesus, if you follow Jesus, you will be here. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." This is the beautiful truth. This is our future. This is the reality that even though it's today, it's hard. Even though today it seems like it's not getting fixed in the way it should. Even though today it feels like this wall is slowly being kind of rebuilt in a way. It's gone. It's been destroyed. And in the end, God will have victory. In the end, we will stand there together. Arm in arm, every tongue, tribe, nation, people, everyone, and in our own languages, in one voice, be praising God together. And it will be glorious, and it will be beautiful, and it will be heaven. For those of us, maybe you have a problem, as we all do, with discrimination. I want to look at the ways that we can actually partner with God and walk with him and bring a glimpse of his kingdom here today. We all have this problem. It's all in our hearts. So what do we do about that? So the first thing we're going to do, here's what's going to happen. First thing we're going to do is you're going to re-examine your heart. Now this is the part where I got scared. Because this is hard in regards to discrimination. Like I said, I believe all of us have this bent. We saw it in Peter. We have this. That's what we naturally do. And none of us want to admit we discriminate. That's uncomfortable. That would mean you're a bad person, right? But here's the thing. When you ask God, hey, God, look within me. Drag the things in darkness into light. Yeah, there's some shame that comes up. There's some bad feelings that come from that, but it leads to freedom. When you ask God to look in your heart, that's a dangerous thing to ask because God will do it. But here's the thing you have to know. You're in good company. We all do it in some way. Maybe you're a guy, all you know is guys. Okay, Maybe you think that women aren't capable or something like that. Maybe you think that people that look like, we all do it. I want to share from my life. Here's how it worked out in my life. I was on BART the other week, going to the city. And for Christmas, I got these. They're the Apple AirPods. They're the little wireless headphones. And I had these on in BART, you know, in my ear. I started to think, wow, it'd be pretty easy for someone just to snatch one of these out of my ear and run off with it. And there's no way I'm buying another set. So I was nervous and scared. So I had a hooded jacket, and I put my hood on to protect them. And God, He spoke. And I heard Him over the sound of the music that was playing. The question that came in my heart was, would you put your hood on and protect your AirPods if you were walking in downtown Danville? And to my shame, I had to admit, no, I would not. The next question was, so why are you feeling the need to do that here? And I had to admit, again, to my shame, it's because of the way the people around me looked and the assumptions I made about them as people. Because they had done nothing. They were on BART just like me to get from point A to point B. No one had reached, tried it to my ear. No one had done a thing. And yet, I made assumptions and discriminated against them. When God examined my heart, it was unpleasant. But it helps me grow. It helps me change. It helps me be more aware. You see, like if any of you have ever gone or known someone who's gone through addiction recovery, or if any of you have ever tried to conquer an issue in your life, what's the first step? You have to admit you have a problem. You have to admit it. And sometimes for a lot of people, admitting you have a problem is the hardest part. But when you admit, when you say, God, I've got a problem, that's when God says, all right, let's get to work. All right, now I can change you. Now I can fix this. I listened to this podcast recently, and it was studying these police departments. And they had their stats showed that they used force disproportionately against minority communities. That was just the number. And this report focused in on Reno Police Department. And the chief there, he wanted to fix this. He said, this cannot keep happening. So he had to start with this admitting, this is a problem. We cannot have this thing happening. We cannot discriminate in this way. We have to fix this. And when he admitted it, they trained in that direction. They equipped officers to handle those situations. They gave them training to improve the situation. And because they admitted it, the chief attributes it to admitting it, they saw dramatic improvement. We all have a problem. All of us. It's not always the same. It's not always cookie cutter. We all have a problem, though. We all have sin in our hearts. We all do things that we know we shouldn't do. We're all directed in a certain way. And when we admit that and we let God bring that into light, then He can change us. And you will actually see the change. So we're going to re-examine your heart. That's hard. That's vulnerable. That's scary. God will do an incredible thing. The second thing we're going to do, this is a little more boots on the ground, practical, but we're going to build relationships outside your normal circle. Look around you. Look around at the people that you spend time with. Is it homogenous? Is it too homogenous? Do they make the same amount of money as you? Are they the same kind of class, social class? Are they the same? They look the same as you? Are they, like, again, if you're like a woman, do you only know women? You don't know any guys? You know, because if we don't build these relationships, one, a lot of times, like, people that aren't like you, we just naturally go towards people like us. So if you don't go out there, get outside your bubble and build, it's not just going to magically happen. You have to go outside. Growing up at the church I used to work at, I grew up there. Moved there when I was 4 years old. And even though it's right on the border of Castro Valley, Hayward, San Leandro, very diverse area, not a diverse church growing up. Not a diverse church. In fact, in my group of friends, in my group of friends at youth group and all that stuff, I was the Asian person. I'm only half Asian, right? So like, I was the diversity in the group. That's it, you know? And that was kind of problematic. And when I was working there, there was this kind of collective realization by our pastors that, wow, we are not reflecting this community. In some ways, in the area had become more diverse, and yet we had not become more diverse, kind of like concurrently with that. And we realized, and to our shame, we are actually doing something that is excluding groups of people, the people that are right here, right around us. And so we had to be intentional. We saw that within 2 miles of our church, there was a couple schools, tons of kids below the poverty line, tons of kids who got subsidized breakfast and lunch because their families could not support them. A ton of people who are first and second generation Spanish speakers didn't have a church, didn't have a place to call home. And so we said, we need to care about those kids. We need to care about those families. We set up different programs to help them, to bring them in. We had a Spanish language service to say, hey, this can be your home too. And we've seen this kind of remarkable growth. It changed when we realized those things. We looked at the community around us and said, we want to reflect this community. We want to reflect Revelation 7. We want the nations to be here. And so it changed the way that we taught. It changed the way that we programmed things. It changed our priorities. It changed the way we hired. And I'm really happy and I rejoice to say, if you go to a service at that church, you stand up, you look around in the main auditorium, in the sanctuary, you see the nations are here. Something is changing. We match our community. And people are coming in and said, oh, we thought this was a church just for Caucasian folks. Now it's our home too. We realize all of us are here together. One family, one body, and it was amazing. It's incredible. It's a better place. I love when kind of science, business research, all this stuff kind of lines up and confirms what the Bible already tells us is true. They found that in companies with diverse teams, when you have a diverse team in a company, they are far more effective than a homogenous team. So teams that have women and men, people of different ethnic backgrounds, people of different, because you get perspective when you have a diversity of people. You know, even culturally, you are raised to look at problems different ways, and so you have a diverse team, there's different angles to handle a problem. There's different ways of looking at a situation. And so diverse teams tend to be far more effective simply because of the backgrounds people have. When you hang out with people just like you, you're going to be more narrow. If you hang out with people that are just like you ethnically, you're going to have a more narrow perspective on the world and of God. If you're a guy and you just hang out with guys, you're going to have a more narrow experience. You're not going to know what women have to offer, what their struggles are, what their needs are, and how you can partner with them. If you hang out with people that are just like you socioeconomically, you can't sympathize and empathize with some of the things that other people go through. And so that's why it's so beautiful. Remember, we're described as a body with many parts. Those are the different parts. And it's beautiful and it's incredible. And we build these relationships, we get that fuller perspective. For me, I listen to a lot of I want to listen to more diverse. I like listening to preaching. I like listening to sermons. Some of you do too. I've got to expand those things. Andy Stanley is great. Tim Keller is awesome. But for me, I want to listen to those two guys. They're amazing, incredible guys speaking in my life. I want to listen to guys like Brian Lewis. I've been listening to him. African-American pastor down in Silicon Valley. He's incredible. Incredible. He's got a different perspective. It's absolutely true. It's different. It's helpful. It expands my horizon. There's a guy named Derwin Gray. He's a pastor, African-American pastor on the East Coast. He was actually a player for the Indianapolis Colts. Amazing guy. Dives right into it and says, here's the church that God has for us. Let's build the church. Let's make it look like Revelation 7. Let's make it look like God had intended. People like Francis Chan. He's a Chinese-American pastor over in San Francisco. Published author. Incredible guy. Different perspectives, something fresh, something new from what God, where God placed him, his upbringing. People like Beth Moore. So many of the ladies in this room have done probably a Beth Moore study. Guys, let's get on that too, okay? Like, it's amazing. She's amazing. Godly woman has so much to offer. Expands that horizon, expands your perspective. When we build outside our circle, we build those relationships, you're going to learn more about yourself. You're going to learn more about the world. You're going to get more empathy and sympathy. And you're going to learn more about God. You're going to learn more about God when you expand those relationships. For me, again, my family, I got this pretty diverse family background. And for Jess, I remember the first time after Jess and I got engaged and I went to a family party for her mom's side. So all of her mom's side immigrated from Mexico. Aunts, uncles, it was her grandmother's 80th birthday. And, you know, it was a party. It was great. But it was different than the parties I was used to going in my family. At some point, someone brought out a guitar and started singing. That does not happen on my Japanese side of my family ever. That was unfamiliar to me. Then they started, everyone's out on the dance floor in their backyard. I'm like, whoop, don't dance at parties. You know, they're dragging me out there. And I learned something about them. They learned something about me. They learned that I'm resistant to dancing around other people. And I learned they know how to throw a party. It's a lot more fun than the parties I'm used to in my family. It's different. We get those increased perspectives, and it's great. A lot of times it's a celebration. You go in and you say, oh, this is actually awesome. This is amazing. The last thing we're going to do is you're going to remind yourself of the gospel. Remind yourself of the gospel. Let's go back. Jesus died for our sins. He died for you and for me. He tore down that dividing wall, that thing that separated us, and said for all of us, most of us in here, Gentiles, come on in. Come on in. So we partner with him. Hey, I received this from Jesus. I'm going to be the messenger and tell other people and bring more people into his kingdom. Tell them about what he did for me. But actually, Jesus tore down a second barrier. You see, when Jesus was crucified, we learned that in the temple, there was this veil, a big, heavy curtain that divided the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God dwelt, from everywhere else. This little room. When Jesus was crucified, when he died, the veil was torn from top to bottom. And we see in that God, that Jesus, not only tore down the wall dividing each of us from each other, but he tore down the wall that separated us from God. And so we celebrate and we rejoice that God is so good, that he loved us so much that he said, I want to be with you. Come into my kingdom. And we offer that to the world that is around us. Let's pray and ask God to bless us and help us to be his ambassadors in this world. So Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we thank you for clarity in your word, that you are clear about your goals and your design. We thank you that you made one humanity. We thank you that you created us in your image. And so Lord, today we live in a world that, because we are fallen, sinful people, is divided. Lord, let us be your ambassadors. Lord, root out any discrimination that's in our hearts, no matter how uncomfortable it is, and thank you that you will make us better as a result. Lord, help us to build outside of our normal circles and learn and rejoice at the people, all the people, the diverse people that you created. And Lord, let us remember that we do all of this because you did it for us first. You love us, and you tore down every barrier that separated us from each other and from you. So Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Be with us and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.